This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Lady to Lady. We have some fun stuff we want to tell you about before getting into the episode. Mm-hmm. First of all, the Britney investigative podcast that Tess and I have been working our butts off on. The trailer is out now. You can subscribe. It's called Toxic, the Britney Spears Story. And we're making it with Witness Docs and Stitcher. And we're just really excited. We've been working so hard on this. It'll be dropping this summer. So you can go subscribe right now.
Listen to the trailer. Find it on your podcast apps.
Yeah, listen to the trailer.
Check out the beautiful art and enjoy.
Yeah, so go find that Toxic, the Britney Spears Story. Subscribe now, and yeah.
Yeah, Babs and Tess have been crushing it. I cannot wait to listen to it. So you guys, make sure you do your thing right now, because honestly, our scheduling has been a fucking nightmare because of this podcast. So
yeah,
listen to it and make it worth it.
Make it worth our time, all of all the crazy shit that we've had to go through. Also, Lady to Lady, we have friggin' new merch now, and it is so cute. We haven't taught, you guys need to go check out our merch right now on Exactly Right store. We've got this amazing, cute, peach crop tank top. It's tank top? What am I saying?
TikTok it on TikTok or tank top.
It's a
sweatshirt on your TikTok.
I feel like to clarify, it is a sweatshirt.
It is a sweatshirt. What did I say? My brain is not working, obviously.
Although it would look really cute if you cut the sleeves off of it.
But that's
true. I'm just going to put it out there.
If you want an extra sleeve somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have one for the winter and one for the summertime. I'm just going to throw it out there. Mm-hmm. We have great t-shirts. We have a really cool gray hat, this dad hat that I love it so much. It's not chuggy. None of our stuff is chuggy.
Oh, never.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Oh, God.
And then we also have, really cute a navy t-shirt available. So go check that out right now. It's all our new stuff that we're super excited about. And also, if you are not a Patreon member yet, you're missing out. We've been doing so much fun stuff over there. That's where we do our Reader's Digest jokes every month. We have a weekly bonus episode that you can listen to. We just do lots of stuff, fun stuff. And we're doing this new thing where if we get 250 patrons by my birthday, July 16th, we will finally do an eating contest. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to vote on what kind it is.
We're going to make good on that threat. So you're going to want a piece of that action.
So it's going to be either watermelon pie or Peeps. You're going to vote on that. But we want to get to 250 by July 16th. So go sign up for our Patreon right now. LadyToLady.com/Patreon. Patreon.com/LadyToLady. What's wrong with me? I'm dyslexic this morning.
We're exhausted.
Patreon.com/LadyToLady. We've got $2, $5, and $10 tiers. You get and $20 tiers. You get all sorts of really fun stuff on all of them. And we're going to eat on a live stream.
Oh my God.
You know how great that's going to look. It'll be awesome.
It'll be us sacrificing for you.
Oh, I just want to throw in there. My live show, Picture This, live on Zoom now. It's animators paired up with comedians who live animate your jokes behind you. We have three new dates coming up for the summer. Our next one is June 23rd. You can get all your tickets at rushtix.com. And we have awesome animators that work on shows like BoJack Horseman and Big Mouth and Adventure Time. And it's such a fun, silly, awesome show. So we're still doing it online, and someday we won't be. So if you live anywhere that's not LA or New York and you really want to see what our stand-up is like and what my jokes drawn look like, there's a lot of real crazy shit that happens in the show. And it's my favorite thing besides Lady to Lady to do in comedy. So come on over and get your tics at rushtix.com.
It's really fun. That's all our announcements.
Our guest today, you guys, this is such a fun show. We have Peaches on. So why don't you kick back, relax, and enjoy our fantastic time with Peaches.
I'm Babs Gray, and I'm going car shopping. Can someone tell me which crop top will get me the best APR?
You'll figure it out. Hey, I'm Brandy Posey, and I'm going to try something different this weekend and not bring a book on a vacation, so maybe I'll actually read one.
Ooh, smart.
I'm Tess Barker, and abort the Republican Party.
Hey.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess.
my God.
Yay.
Let's do it, you guys. Should we bring on our guests? I'm so excited.
So absolutely excited.
Yes. We're so stoked to have her today.
She's a legend. Her seminal album, The Teachers of Peaches, turned 20 last year. She's incredible. We're just so honored to have her on the show. It's Peaches!
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Coming to us from Berlin, midnight over there. That's so right. Thank you for either staying up or not going. Yeah. I don't know which one it is. If you're waking up or if you're staying up for us, but thank you for either one.
I don't know anymore. It doesn't even matter, does it?
Peaches, I have a question. Since you're technically in the future, how is the rest of today? Are we going to be all right? Does anything happen?
The sun also rises.
Oh,
good answer.
Fuck.
Good answer.
I had bets against that, but okay.
Yes.
Well, someday that bet will be right, Barbara. Don't worry.
If I go to Alaska, I guess.
You know, something I was out past curfew last week because we still had curfew up until Friday. So we've been in lockdown for 6 months. And we decided to be bad kids, me and my partner and two friends. We were in the park after 10 o'clock. Ooh, isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
There was like three teenagers there and we started turning up and they ran away. So that's crazy. We scared the teenagers away. Mm-hmm. And then we made an Elon Musk comment. Mm-hmm. And then we looked up in the sky and guess what we saw?
Elon Musk?
SpaceX?
The Starlink.
How do you know what it was?
I didn't. We didn't. I looked up. I was like, oh, the moon is so cool. Wow. Curfew. Fuck curfew. Blah, blah. And then I was like, there's a line of Christmas lights in a row in white going across the sky. What is happening?
Whoa.
That's so
and
weird.
Literally like 5 minutes after we mentioned said name.
I don't like so that. This gives me like Candyman vibes. Like, bet he's going to appear.
Yeah.
If it was anyone other than Elon Musk, I'd be like, oh, synchronicity. Like, you guys were just like dialed in. But we can't trust that motherfucker, can we?
I don't think so.
It was just like when you talk about, you know, I need new shelving. And then on your phone, they show you all the different shelving plans.
Right.
All of a
He's
sudden,
listening.
You didn't even. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think his goal is not to live on Mars, but to become the algorithm. So I think that makes sense.
Oh, I'm really sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's fine. It's fine. He'll be here.
No, because I prepared a pun.
What is it?
No.
Oh my
never
God,
apologize for a pun. You're in a
right.
pun.
Well,
place.
I'm Canadian, so I say
place.
sorry. All right. What is the name for an ex vice president? What is the name of an ex-vice president who collects data with a beat?
What?
Oh, I don't have it. What is it, Peaches?
You actually said it already.
Oh. Wait,
ex-vice president.
Okay, ex-vice Pence. President. Pence.
Doesn't have to be Pence. The last ex-vice president.
Okay, Al Gore.
Yeah. Algorithm. Yeah? Algorithm.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That was great.
Thank you for also reminding us that there's a time before the last 4 years. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Mike Pence. Who else was
I wish you guys had felt the panic in my brain that was like, I'm not going to be able to name a single human being. Like, my brain is not going to operate right now. Okay. That's really good. You should write that into. We're doing Reader's Digest. We're trying to get published in Reader's Digest, and
yes.
I think that
okay.
you could write that joke in for them, and perhaps
okay, great,
get
great.
Your pun mm-hmm. in there.
Lady to lady approved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although my partner isn't into puns, and he said you're gonna get some punishment.
Oh.
And then I was like, your pun is actually better than mine, so.
Well, this is definitely a pun safe space. If you have more that you feel like dropping over
right.
the next hour,
okay.
you are more than welcome to.
Okay.
I love a pun. Right. It's a fun little like magic mathematical equation that is a joke. And it's just, I love them.
I watched like a pun off once. And as horrible as it sounds, it was actually, it was very entertaining.
Well, if you're doing it in real time, I think that definitely adds stakes.
Yeah,
I think if it comes to you, that's like, okay, wow, this is kind of like a magic act.
I mean, that's why, I don't know about you guys, But every time I watch a spelling bee, I get so nervous.
Yes. Yes. I know what you mean.
Wait, how often are you watching a spelling bee?
Just from time to time. There's also a musical called Spelling for the Spelling Bee of Putnam County. So, you know, spelling bees come and go in my life, but all they're doing is spelling.
Yeah.
But it feels really high stakes.
Are you a good speller or a bad speller?
Dude, okay, so when I was a kid, I was like, I never made it far in the spelling bee, but I usually made it to like the school one. I would say I was like in the upper, I was in the high percentile. But as an adult, that has atrophied completely. I literally just punch a series of keys on my computer and hope that it knows what I'm talking about.
But I think
about.
It's because we know it's going to fix it, you know?
Right, like, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a good speller, but I'm not like, you know, who needs to put in the work?
I remember being a child in a spelling bee, and I had misheard the, who's the guy that spelled potato wrong?
That was Dan Quayle.
Another
Dan Quayle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the spelling bee that, like, that's the most high-stakes spelling bee of all time because he, like, lost
right,
his career.
Like, kid, sorry, you spelt that wrong.
But I remember...
Isn't that what happened? Right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Like, blame the kid.
Basically, I only remember hearing, like, half of that story as a child, but then in my brain I was like, oh, that man spelled it with an E, so that must be right. And then at the spelling bee, I got the word potato, and I put E on it, and I lost.
Oh, you Dan Quayle
it. So I have massive Dan Quayle, like a lifetime beef with Dan Quayle because of this.
What the fuck?
You Dan Quayled it.
That's why it's important.
Quailed it.
You're punny, Peaches. You're really punny. Wow. Yeah. That's what are the odds of you getting potato?
Yeah, in the same year. God. And it just goes to show, read the article. Don't just read the headline, even when you're in second grade.
Yes, that's a...
Now, I think potato is one of those words where it's like a Berenstain Bears, like, it just depends on how you experience it. Is there really a correct spelling, or is it just how your memory decides it's spelled?
And would people do the same thing with tomato?
Mm. Oh, hold up. Yeah. I need to think about this. Is there an E in tomato?
No.
No.
I have to think about it.
And, yeah. No, there's not an E in tomato.
I think it's because you have the ES in potatoes and tomatoes, so it gets so, you know.
Yeah. And come on, you're not only eating one of those.
Well,
like, there's
also that Louie and Ella song that kind of fucks us up, right? Like, potato, potato. Like, maybe
tomato,
the E,
tomato.
Yeah, it's like, are there two spellings? I don't know.
You guys, let's just call the whole thing off, okay?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
There's the bit.
Oh, boy. Peaches, have you seen the song, the racist sexist boy?
I was going to say, racist sexist boy.
I cannot get it out of my fucking head, and I'm like so proud.
Everything about it, it's everything. I feel really, I think that little boy learned a lot this week, too. I hope that his parents also learned a lot this week.
Same. Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's
okay,
it's just so.
You guys need to fill me in. I haven't seen it.
You haven't? No. Holy shit.
No.
Oh, Tess. Wait, Babs, can you pull it up and play a little bit?
Yeah, it's basically these like band of four girls who are like 12 to 13 years old. And let me just, I'll just show it to you.
But it starts with like, there's this this girl and she's Chinese American, and she tells the story of, she said, I'm Chinese American, and this boy in my class came up to me and told me that if I was Chinese, that I'm not allowed to talk to him, to you. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I am. Mm-hmm. And, oh, you have it here. I see. Yeah, you'll see. Here.
Oh, here it is. Here you go.
Yeah.
She's wearing a bikini kill shirt.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's amazing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're in a library.
These kids are amazing.
Oh, they're in a library.
And they're in the library. Exactly.
So fucking good.
It's really
so awesome.
Yeah, it's so like Bikini Kill, L7, like It's just Huggy Bear. It's all of it's like 90s, you know, Riot Girl awesomeness.
Wow. That really like it's moments like that where I'm like, wow, the future will be okay. That is so cute.
Yeah, it's cool to see like little girls still like being like knowing who Bikini Kill is and stuff, and it's like no, the heritage is being passed down, and like
apparently they like even they open the so I was like, oh fuck yeah, these chicks are amazing, and I looked them up and they're like already huge, and they just signed with Epitaph Records like after this, which is like amazing and scary because I'm like, oh god, don't, you know, like
that's what happened in the 90s too, right?
They also huge deals, like please be okay. But
exactly.
But it was very inspiring and just like exciting to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so badass, and the song's so good. I like cannot get it out of my head.
It's such a, you know, I was like, oh, this is gonna be cute, and then I'm like, oh shit,
that sound comes out, and you're like, whoa,
yeah.
I've
been reading. It's not a new book, but you know, Viv Albertine, she's the guitarist from the Slits.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Do you know the Slits? And I didn't realize that Ari Up was 14 years old.
Wow.
Jesus. Isn't it so impressive when you think like how, like when I think about like where I was at 14 and then these like the kids, what they've created at that age already is it's so cool. You know, it's just I'm just so impressed by that, you know.
I mean, it wasn't like a lip sync to a Spice Girls song. So, you know, I think my art's also valid. But
we all bring something to the table.
Of course. Of course. Peaches, when did you get into music?
Well, I got into music quite late, actually. So, you know, I picked up an acoustic guitar probably when I was like 18.
Oh, wow.
Oh, awesome.
And I was just like playing whatever, like, hey, hippie people, let's go.
Yeah.
I'll be a hippie person too. Let's learn some guitar. And then, I just kept playing, blah, blah, blah. Started playing electric guitar, started playing with people, blah, 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 blah. Years go by. And then everybody moves away and I got a machine and started to play everything myself. Yeah. So I mean, Peaches didn't start till I was like 33.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Were you always really passionate about music?
Yeah, it was weird because I didn't really know that I could be a musician. I was like, thought that, you know, it's in your family. You have to like, you know, learn how to read music. How do you get there? Whatever. You know, all I knew was like musicals.
Oh, love that.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I knew. I just like sang along with musicals and I would pick up every song, you know, like one of those things, but I didn't know. But it's amazing. It's amazing what you can do if you just are passionate or into it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Totally.
And then you realize, oh, I've been into that all along. I didn't even just make the connect, you know, then you start making the connections, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. I know there's so much stuff that I've gotten into as an adult where I'm like, that's so random. And then I'm like, is it though? Like, you can pretty much trace that back and see where this came from.
No, it's funny. Yeah. I'll be like, when did I want to like be a comedian or do whatever? And I don't think I thought about doing comedy until later in life. But then I like look at my entire history of being a human and I'm like, oh, yeah, you were doing puppet shows at 3 years old. Like, you probably were going to do something like this.
Well, did you all have like, I'm sure you've talked about this before, so you can tell me like, sorry, we've been there. But you're like inspiration for comedy, like when you were... Was it a comedian? Was it like a show? Was it?
Well, for me at least, it was very specifically a moment in Ace Ventura 2, Pet Detective, where he gets shit out of the rhino's asshole. And it was like the funniest thing that I'd ever seen in my life. I remember seeing it in theaters and being like, this is anarchy. I want to be a part of it.
Amazing.
And I was like, I've never felt this good in my life. I want to find a way to feel this all the time.
Yeah.
And
Brandy's been seeking out her own pooping out of a rhino's asshole.
We're gonna make that happen, Bea. We're gonna make that happen.
Thank you,
that'd
be amazing.
So much.
yeah. It's like my stand-up is nothing like that at all, but that was this like click of like, oh, I love comedy because of like the chaos that it can be, and like the way that it like lets like you have no control of yourself when you're like laughing in that moment. It was so silly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my like bad grandmother was there with me and she hated it. And that made me like it even more.
Right.
Yeah. I like a hardcore Catholic grandma that took us. And then literally after that, I was probably in like fifth or sixth grade. Every time that I would see her after that, the first question that she would ask would she go, do you still like that Jim Carrey? And I would say, yes. And then she wouldn't ask me any other questions.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
In her head, she was probably like, this is what I remember about Brandy. She likes Jim Carrey.
Yeah, and she hated me for making her see that. It was great.
I thought you meant, like, when you said bad grandma, I thought she was, like, the bad grandma because she brought you to that movie.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Nah. Yeah, I was like the bad grandma's the good grandma. Yeah, exactly.
I wish. I wish. No, shitty grandma, I guess, is what I should say instead.
I remember my brother asked my grandparents, like, for Hanukkah, for the George Carlin album. You know, so they're like, let's listen to it all together, and they were like, out of that room right away. They're like, okay, what did we just buy? Because, you know, you don't sample, you don't hear things before, because it was like vinyl,
of course,
and closed,
yeah. I did that totally with my mom with Nirvana, because I was like, Mom, can I get this album? She's like, that sounds nice, Nirvana.
Right. I've told the story before, but my best version of that was Too Close, the Boner song. You're getting real close. You're making it hard for me. So the beginning of that song and the actual version, he's like, damn, baby, you're making me so hard. And I didn't know that. And we were at the CD store and I'm like, Mom, I want this album. And I just watch her. I get to watch my mom put on the headphones and listen. And then she's like, no, you're not getting this.
Oh, no, you didn't get it.
No, that's okay. I feel like that was, I mean, I don't know about the rest of that album, but I probably was okay not, you know, that was probably, I think, their only hit.
So. You might be okay with just the single album. Yeah. But you know what? I'm going to put that song on a playlist soon because
it's it holds up. Mm-hmm. It holds up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know that song, Let Me Smell Your Dick?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So good. Wait.
That sounds familiar.
It just made me think of that. I don't know why. The other end.
Similar oeuvre. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who was
it? I just love that song forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Risque, right? I think.
Yeah. That's
good. Yeah.
Right.
quickly googling them. Wait, hold on. Yeah.
I just got a drink made because it's midnight.
Ooh, what are we working with there?
Looks very nice. What is this?
Ooh, it's like pineapple. There's some maple syrup in there.
It's refreshing.
Ooh. And some spice and pineapple and tequila.
Lovely. I've been on such a tequila kick lately. It's good for you.
It's a probiotic.
Exactly. It's an anti-inflammatory. It's a probiotic.
Yeah, I just drink that with cranberry juice and, you know, my pussy's ready to go.
Perfect.
Yeah, thinking about, like, influences growing up, I mean, I don't remember. We listened to, like, some comedy albums and stuff as a family, but I only remember really getting obsessed with stuff, like, later. I got obsessed with British comedy and, like, Strangers with Candy and just, like, really weird stuff.
Strangers with Candy is so good.
Yeah, I remember being in my college dorm and, like, seeing that randomly and just being like, what is this? And, like,
I must do this.
Blew my mind. Yeah, and I think I just became so obsessed with comedy that it was like, I guess I have to do it because it's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah, for me, it was, I mean, this is so generic, but, like, as a kid, it was I Love Lucy. Like, I just
loved. Wow. Oh, yeah, I mean, classic, right?
Like,
though.
My family didn't have cable. We literally had, like, bunny ears on our TV, so that was like one of the only channels we got, even though it was the 90s. So I watched Lucy my entire childhood, and that's definitely like what got me into comedy, I think, because I was just in awe.
They're
making
that new like Lucy and Desi movie or something, aren't they?
Really?
No.
Yeah. Who's gonna be Lucy?
Nicole Kidman.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
But she can't really move her face anymore. Huh? No. She can't make all those great faces.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'm like, curious to see how that works.
I would like to say that I'm coming at this as from a place of I like Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I do too. Of course, yes.
That said, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But prove us wrong. Prove us wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you need a great comic actor, I think, to pull that off. But also, I don't know if anyone can pull off Lucy, so maybe you might as well just be Nicole Kidman. They can probably just deep fake some fucking Lucy on her face.
You know
or
who
something.
I would cast is Isla Fisher.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think she could pull it off way more.
Yeah,
for sure.
Somebody had a few casting ideas that I can't remember, but yeah, I don't know. Nicole,
as long as your face can move, that would be a good idea. Like, you got to make these faces. That's just all like when the faces. It's like Gilda Radner time, you know? Like,
yeah.
And
that's still like what I do in my comedy. Like if nothing else, I just kind of like make a face. It always works.
It sells it a little bit harder, for sure.
Exactly.
All right, we've got some face stretches to do. We'll be back in a second, everybody.
BRB. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Peaches.
Hello.
We were talking about face stretches. I have some important physical fitness advice for everyone.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I've learned the proper way to do Kegels.
Oh.
So I have a friend who is a physical therapist, and she was like, here's what you got to do. You stand with your feet like apart, but put your weight on your like balls of your feet so that it's like almost like you're skiing.
Okay.
And that gets like the muscles, the front pussy muscles more tight. Like, so just basically just pretend like you're skiing when you do Kegels. Trust me, you'll feel it when you feel it. So
pizza french fry, but like with your pussy. Okay, great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I've got to admit that I can't twerk.
Oh my God. It's so hard.
I give up.
Honestly, I think it's important to admit that you can't though.
Yeah. And I feel like Kegels and twerking, I think they're both as important as each other. Like in that, I think if I could twerk, I think that would do a lot of what Kegels do too.
That is true. Yeah, it's kind of like,
Yeah.
It's all pelvic floor.
Yeah. It's control of the same muscle plan. Group. Yeah.
I got a 3-bed, 2-bath going on down there. So,
Yeah. And frankly, it's a little too spacious. We could put some walls up.
Yeah.
Ooh. Exactly.
Just kidding. My pussy's fine. Okay.
Probably a balcony installed.
Peaches, we're going to play a game to get to know you. It's called Who, What, When, Where, Why. Answer these questions however you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Theme song, though.
Yeah, let's rock our theme song.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Why?
So if you need an opener when things open back up, just know.
We're available.
We have upwards of 10 second jingles.
We can wear a 3-person shirt and yell singles no one or jingles.
Well,
no
why don't you do a cover of Racist Sexist Boy?
Oh,
we could totally do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to the Linda Lindas. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Who is the coolest musician you've hung out with besides yourself? Obviously.
The coolest musician. Do you know what? The coolest musician I've hung out with. I hung out with Joan Jett.
Oh, shit.
That's pretty cool.
She was very cool.
Did you guys tour together?
No, we didn't. We did a track together, and then we hung out together. And then we recorded, and it was really fun. I was like, she was recording guitar, and I put on a gold bikini, and I was like, it was like a studio with a glass, and I was like pressing my ass on the glass, like being the...
That's perfect. Get that percussion
like inspirational in. Bikini badass girl while Joan Jett was being like the
holy shit.
Rocker.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's so cool. I love her.
Yeah. I just read, I'm really into reading all these biographies because I can't sleep. So I wake up and when I wake up, it's not like I can't sleep. It's more like I'm in some loop and I'm like, oh my God, I better do something to like just get out. So I've started to read biographies.
Mm-hmm.
I started with White Line Fever, which was really weird. Do you know that one? Lemmy's biography?
Uh-uh.
It's very
I've
heard
it's weird. It's great, though. Yeah.
It is great, but when did you hear it was great? How long ago? You know what I mean? Because now you read it, you're like, it's great, but it's kind of, there's a lot of really problematic things, even though he doesn't think he's being problematic. You know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, so I was like,
a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone was like, it's so good. But then I was reading, I was like, ooh, I don't know about you saying that or having an opinion about, you know, the Rodney King riots or, you know, also I love women, you know, and then blah, blah, things that are iffy.
Yeah. Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah.
So that was the first one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I read the Neon Angel. Do you know that one? It's Shiri Kiri's biography.
That's cool.
Who was the Runaways singer from the Runaways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Who's now a chainsaw artist.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Sick.
What is a chainsaw artist? What the fuck
she
is that?
She makes like sculptures out of chainsaw.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend Walker does that. It's really cool. Like these like big giant pieces and stuff. That's awesome. Good for her. And yeah, I imagine.
Was that your favorite one?
Yeah. Well, yeah, now I'm reading that Viv Albertine one that's really good. Mm. Where I found out like Aria was 14. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about writing a memoir?
Yeah, I have. But I don't, I don't know. I don't know how honest I could be. I don't know if I would find it interesting. You know, like, I guess maybe that's why I'm also reading them too. Like,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do but, I want to do, yeah.
It's do hard I, to think that, of yourself in that way. It's hard to be like, okay, now what is my story for the people? It's a weird,
is my
like,
story interesting? Doesn't seem interesting to me. It's my story.
We have. I've talked to people who've written memoirs and stuff, and one challenge they've all seemed to have too is like your own memory is actually pretty unreliable. Like it's got to be hard to like I don't know what fucking year what happened or who I was hanging out with during like it's got to be hard to put everything in chronological order and you know obviously piece together as accurately as you can.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always whenever people have like conversations in memoirs, I'm like, what?
How do you remember that?
This is fully made up, right? Okay.
I mean, the good thing, you know, for us is we have about 8 years of 100 hours or, you know, hundreds of hours on a podcast. Not that I'm going to listen to, but I will probably pay someone off of Craigslist to listen to someday if I ever want to write a book.
Love a Craigslist ghostwriter.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll hire the guy. Yeah. So
is that the best, that's the best place to find a ghostwriter?
I think, or I'm just saying if I'm going to find someone to listen to it and tell me what's good out of it. Like, I'm just like, yeah. I don't know, just someone who hasn't heard it before, you know.
You mean I shouldn't just put a, like a message on Facebook? Hey, need a ghostwriter.
Hey, that'd
be like the worst idea.
Yeah. Hey, stranger, do you want to go through all my personal shit?
Yeah.
Be real careful with that.
Oh, great. You do great. Yeah.
Cool.
I have ghostwritten people's, this might be illegal, but I have ghostwritten people's college entrance essays for them.
Oh my God.
I really enjoyed it. I like having people tell me like their story and then kind of like it, for me, it's like kind of almost easier to do it for someone else than to do it for myself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's fun. Right. I think a whole memoir. Yeah. A whole book would be hard. But I've written people's bios before because it is like it's just so much easier to have somebody else write that shit for you. And they're like, remember, you're fucking awesome. It's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm not going to write that about myself.
Exactly.
Okay. Peaches, next question. You obviously have like some of the most incredible stage style. So what is your favorite stage outfit / costume?
Oh, okay. Well, I have this costume. It's really hard to like, it's like a cone head blonde straight wig that goes down to my shoulders. And when it meets at my shoulders, there's like a shoulder hair kind of cape that goes with it that's the same color, and it's attached to a bra that has 7 breasts, and they're all those silicone breasts.
Yeah.
And then there, that's like the bikini top, the whole bikini top area, and then there's bikinis that go with it, and the bikini just consists of a single boob and a long clump of straight blonde hair going down.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So did you design that? Do you usually design your own costumes or do you work with people or?
Yeah, I work with people. Like it's funny because when I started, I wore like the cheapest, like there's this store in Canada called Le Chateau and they have like the cheapest kind of bathing suit. And I don't know. It's like Rainbow maybe. Do you know the store Rainbow or is that East Coast? Okay, Rainbow. Mm-hmm. So it's like really cheap stuff. And I was only going to wear Rainbow and cheap kind of, like spandexy stripper, cheap strippery kind of outfits.
Yeah.
And that was my thing.
And then people started to send me amazing stuff.
Oh, awesome.
The first thing that was sent to me was this woman, she made gloves, but it was a cape and it was said XXX on it. And the gloves went like this. It really made me feel like Ozzy Osbourne. And that's when I started to spit blood. So a lot of the costumes started to inspire different things I would do on stage too, which was so amazing. And then that would start to, you know, start this banter with people. Like for my second album, Fatherfucker, I'm wearing this one piece that has a hand on it. Just a hand here. So somebody sent that. Someone threw that. Wendy and Jim, these designers, they threw it on stage to me, and I had it. And then I would always put my hand there, or you know, stuff like that. And then I started to meet designers. So that particular outfit was not made for me, but it was made by Charlie Lemondou, and he said he was inspired by me, and it was he made all these amazing weird costumes. For I'm spacing out on the name, this like Paris show that it's all like supposed to be, all the women are the exact same size and the exact same breast size and the same shoulder width and everything. Mm-hmm. But then he made these weird costumes for them, and then after it he's like, here, this for you can have.
Oh, that's amazing, holy shit.
But the weird thing was like the silicone nipples kept coming off. So I'd be in a show and I'd be like seeing these weird boogers all over me, and I didn't know what it was. It'd be like the silicone boogers on me. So and I then can't did you wear just it all have the time, like, and it's quite heavy.
Did you have nipples like a la carte on stage? Just kind of like confetti?
Wow, I should do that. I should have a confetti cannon of nipples.
Yeah.
That's so good. I think throw that's going to happen. Crowd. Thank you.
Of course. I'm so honored.
Yeah.
I did get another costume that was a bodysuit that was made out of my nipples. Like I got my nipples cast, and then those nipples went all over as a costume.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
Yeah.
That's got to be super validating to have like fans making costumes that like get you to be like, oh yeah, like I'm putting out exactly like what I want to get back, and they're seeing what is even possible beyond what I'm doing.
That is exactly it, and that's the point. That's the, you know, that's the sharing, that's the community.
Yeah, I think like the biggest compliment is like when your creativity can inspire creativity in somebody else too, you know. It's just beautiful that can happen. That's awesome.
Okay, man. Next question, Peaches. Where do you feel most inspired?
Where do I feel most? It's where do I don't I you know what I guess it's not really a very I it's not where do I feel most inspired. I guess it's more like reacting to things that happen. It's more like what is going on, and then I'm like, what is going on? And then I react to it, and then I'm inspired by it. Maybe I'm angry by it, or maybe I'm like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like where, really. Because, you know, I could say like the ocean and, you know, or, or, you know.
The sunset.
A brothel or, you know. It's not really, or this time of day. It's more like reacting. It's just that something that I've heard, or I just need to like have a feeling about it, or a reaction. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're kind of normally in that place where you're very perceptive to what's going on around you? Like it could happen at any time, or?
It's funny because I like to believe I am, but then sometimes I'm like, come on, come to me. Why? Where is it? You know?
It is wild how you can't predict that. Yeah. Like,
yeah, you can't. Yeah.
I have, this is not like the same thing, but I have this joke I'm kind of working on about just how we're, you know, humans suck or whatever, and we're killing the ocean. But I was like listening NPR the other day, had this story about like digging all this trash out of this lake, and it inspired another part of like this joke I'm thinking of. And I was like, oh yeah, it's just weird. You just never know how something's going to connect to something else. Like I usually am not sitting here listening to this news thing, and now, you know, it could become this whole other part. So, but then when you sit down sometimes to be creative, and yeah, you're just like, nothing is coming in. What is this shit?
Yeah, it can feel a bit like making an appointment to have sex.
Yeah, exactly. It's on the calendar for 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I got
but
my
it's amazing if you can do that and you can show up for that.
Yeah.
That appointment.
Yeah. And I'm always impressed with like people that have like writing schedules and they're just like, I'm working. I work every day for like 4 hours a day, like on whatever comes into my mind. And I'm just like, right. That's just not a way that my brain has ever worked creatively.
No, me either, actually.
Yeah.
I do find it's quite a relief to just like, I forget who said this, but you know, just the first draft of anything is shit. So it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, even if you're not inspired, I always think there is probably some value in just putting down some shit. Because then you can go back and like polish it at least.
Polish that turd.
Polish that turd.
Yeah.
Got to.
True.
Yeah. Or just like inspire, like you can react from like, oh, forget that. It needs to be, you know, maybe that gives you an inspiration.
Exactly.
To judge yourself.
I love to judge myself. The more often I can do that, the better.
Yeah. The phrase polish a turd is so weird because you would actually just make more of a mess if you tried to do that. So it's just a strange phrase in our in our nomenclature.
But wait, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you say polish a turd like in terms of something you can't do? Is that right? Like
no, I think it's if something's bad that you want to make the best of it, right?
I always thought it's like you can't polish a turd, like there's no hope for it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I've brought some real turds to life. So.
Have you polished them, though?
That's the question. Did you polish them?
Maybe it's better if you shellac them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think seal them. Bronze them like a baby shoe from the 50s, I think.
I used to have some bronze shit that I got on Catalina Island because, you know, Catalina Island off Los Angeles is overrun by buffalo. Mm-hmm. And so in the souvenir shops there, you can buy, it's probably just mud, but you can buy gold plated shit. And I thought that was really funny.
There you go.
So that's the move.
I love humans. Like we will sell anything to each other. And it's a beautiful thing.
But some of it is accepted and some of it isn't. It could be like so close. And then it's like that works and that doesn't. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like a do-it-yourself bronzing kit for a buffalo shit.
No.
Really,
but if you've done it for me, it's shiny and I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. When is peach season?
When is peach season? What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's open to whatever you want it to
be. Open season. All seasons.
Yeah. Oh, good.
A peach awesome. For all
season
seasons.
On peach.
That's perfect. Where does the name Peaches come from?
From a Nina Simone song.
Oh, cool. Nice.
And I just wanted her literally at the end of her song Four Women because she said, they call me Peaches, just because the way she said Peaches was so, with so much passion and anger and virility that I was like, can you be singing that word to me? Can you be calling me? And I never thought, you know, she's not going to be going, Meryl. So so I was like, I better change my name.
Do the people in your private life call you Peaches too? Or
they do now. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's some Merylers around.
Yeah. You know? I always wonder how that transition works. Like, there's the old joke that, like, one day Sting was just like, call me Sting. But it's like, yeah, I mean, you're the, yeah, that, I always,
it's funny, the
that.
More official things you have to do, and you know, that also gets like, you know, when do you use your real name, or who, or it's also interesting who wants to call you Meryl and who wants to call you, not you, me,
who
wants to call you by the name that they know you as, or do they want to like call you, you know, your birth name, or, you know, should I just change it? And then they can never call me that again. Yeah, no, or people who don't know me who are like, hello, Meryl.
Yeah.
It's that's like,
cool.
I don't know you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, when I saw, one thing if they've known you.
When I saw Ad Rock walking down the street one day in Silver Lake, I was like, what do I say? Because I'm like, I said Adam, and then that felt weirder, but saying Ad Rock feels weird. I don't know. It was a... But we're best friends now, so it's fine.
It's weird because, like, obviously, you know, Sean's my husband, so you think that, like, my legal name is Teresa, but, like, he met me as Tess, so, like, you would think that I wouldn't care what he called me, but, like, it's really weird when he calls me Teresa.
No, that's weird. Of course that's weird.
Yeah.
Right?
So formal.
I know, but like my family calls me. So I'm used to like people who are familiar with me calling me Teresa, but like my siblings have known me since I was Teresa.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not something, it feels weird to like bring it up late in the game.
Right, right, right. And you're like, when did you make that switch over?
Like, yeah, totally. Like, well, hey. every person I've had a serious relationship with has an older woman in their family named Barbara. So that's always fun. I just found out Adam has like an Aunt Barbara. I was like, what the fuck? Another one? And I remember one guy like wanted to say my name in bed and felt weird because his mom's name was Barbara.
Oh, no. I had an Aunt Barbara.
Really?
We could date. I had an Aunt Barbara.
Yes. Okay. That's my requirement now. So you're good.
Actually, I have two. Oh, my God. I have two.
Whoa. Yeah. Peach is top of the pile.
Do they go
now.
By Babs or Barb?
Barbie. She's like a really heavy duty, respected psychologist.
Oh, cool.
Which nice. Goes by Barbie.
I like it.
And yeah, my other aunt was Barbara, Auntie Barbara. But that's so funny.
You gotta make
that choice.
I didn't
even realize I had two.
You're my only Barbara.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. You're my only Barbara, too. So we can't date. We can just podcast together forever. Okay.
We'll just be podcasting together for all eternity. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, last question before we go to break. Peaches, why can't everyone just be cool?
I know, right? And I take cool in the way that why can't people be just tolerant and open and understanding and... Mm-hmm. Why?
It takes a lot of effort because being cool, I feel like it takes a lot of effort to be all those things, like to be a shitty
person. I
think
it's just insecurity and a lot of bad non-learning or just a lot of fear. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much fear that comes from like a scarcity mindset too, where it's just like, there's not enough for others or something. And you're like,
exactly.
Or there's not enough for me if everybody else gets it. And it's like, a big, big old world out there.
Yeah. That insecurity is something that like, I just like, man, it's so easy to see the older I get when I like see something going on and I'm like, oh, that's, I can see where that's coming from. You know, and it's not something you can like necessarily fix or whatever, but it's like very easy to identify.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying we're all insecure. I'm insecure, you know, but it's just like you have to at one point recognize and, you know, relinquish and let down the defenses, right? Mm-hmm. So it's tough out there.
And like don't take it out on other people, you know?
That's so like, easy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think also a lot of it is you know, patience doesn't like come naturally, especially in modern times. Like I guess back when we didn't really have books or TV or whatever, maybe people were naturally more patient because you just had to like sit there and look at a rock for 4 hours. But I see so many people being assholes where it's like all just like who gives a shit? Like who gives a shit if your coffee's gonna take 4 more minutes? Or like, do you really need to be driving like that? You're endangering other people. Just fucking calm down.
Yeah, we live in a society. We live in a collective. Like, it's like your own individual thing is not the most important thing. It's about, like, the unity and, like, the harmony of everybody around you. You know, that doesn't mean that, like, you can't go after what you want, but it is also, like, that doesn't outweigh the needs of, like, the society that you choose to live in.
I wonder, well, I mean, I think you're all, like, in LA, you're all, everything's opened up again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just started.
But I just wonder, like, if people are going to be a little more tolerant if it's good, or they're just so impatient to get back.
Yeah.
I can say absolutely not. People have not changed. They haven't learned shit. They're still assholes. People drive.
Right, like it just feels like they're right back in it.
People are driving crazier than ever. It's like not.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. When LA first shut down, when this whole city shut down, I shit you not, nobody was going to work. Nobody was going anywhere. I was aggressively tailgated. Where was this guy going? Not to work. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sure it wasn't funny, but that's like.
Oh, no. Now. Afterwards.
What it all comes down to.
Yeah.
No, it's like deeply disheartening to see people like not have like learned that lesson after we all survived. I mean, not all of us survived a global pandemic, but like, you know, like after we've gone through this where it's like.
Yeah. You think there could be another. Yeah. But then it's like, nope. Never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. It's gonna
the coming out of this is going to be crazy. That's
going to happen here. We experience that. Okay.
Yay. Well, get ready.
Okay, we're going to take a break and then come back and do a lady problems. BRB, everybody. Everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady, the podcast you're listening to in your ears. This is Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Peaches.
Hi, pew, Peaches. Pew, 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 pew. Hey.
Okay, we're going to do some lady problems. If you have one, you can send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail. 323-6-BUT-30 is the phone number. Here's the song.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
I just forget that there's a bark at the end of that. Sometimes I hear it.
I think that's my favorite of your theme songs, I gotta say.
Thank you.
I think that's one of our best ones.
Probably like our most classic one.
Yeah, it's love classic. Lady problems.
Okay, this one is written in to us.
Okay.
Hi. This is me saying hi in the letter. Okay. Hi. Firstly, thank you for your podcast. It's a pleasure to listen to and a gift to have some moments of levity during a pretty dark year and a half. I really appreciate you all continuing to provide entertainment throughout the pandemic and give us some guaranteed laughs every Wednesday. It does make stay-at-home orders less lonely. You're welcome. Okay. I'm having a bit of a hard time with my mom and would love some advice. I separated from my husband about 2 years ago. We met when I was 17 and got married when I was 24 and separated when I was 33. It was a difficult separation because my ex was threatening to hurt me and to hurt himself.
Oh my God.
And it is this behavior that necessitated the separation in the first place. I didn't date for a year after and then got on the back on the bandwagon when I felt kind of ready. The first person I started dating was a woman. I had started feeling attraction to women more and more over the previous 2 years, and I'm happy to explore that attraction now. Truthfully, I do still have some attraction towards men, but for the most part prefer to date women at this point in my life. I don't know if I would call myself a lesbian now or bisexual or pan, and truthfully, I really don't care. I don't need to label it. My sexuality is one of the least interesting things about me, in my opinion, and I don't need to be defined by it. Love is love. The trouble is, my mom sometimes starts these fights where she claims that I don't know who I am. Bisexuality doesn't exist, and therefore, I've clearly been a lesbian my whole life, and I married knowing I was a lesbian. And says, since I've always been a tomboy, and I still often wear men's t-shirts and flannels, that this points to me having always been a lesbian. She even used the term cross-dresser, which really bothers me as someone that thinks gender binary is bullshit, and people should whatever the fuck they want. How I dress is not related to my sexuality. I also very much was attracted to and loved my ex when we got married. We separated for reasons that had nothing to do with my sexuality, and her comments are invalidating my marriage too. I love my mom, and other than this we have a lot of fun together. It's just when she starts this fight, it gives me anxiety and produces feelings of internalized shame that are harmful. I also resent her insisting she knows my own sexuality, and I don't. It's just hurtful in so many ways that are hard to describe. She won't listen to me, and I'm not sure if she will stop. So I don't know whether to cut back on our time spent together or just try to compartmentalize what she says as her just being from a different generation. She doesn't get it. And just work on not letting it get to me so we can still have fun times. Any advice would be appreciated. Okay, sorry, that was a longy.
God, that's so hard.
It's tough because clearly your mother may be questioning her own sexuality.
Oh, interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
And just doesn't realize how to understand how her daughter has learned to question and open up to these things. So it could be a generational problem, but it's I don't think it's her problem. I think it's definitely her mother's problem, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm encouraging her to turn it around and instead of seeing it as herself, see it as her mother questioning, you know?
That's so
interesting. I'm not saying your mother's a lesbian. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, if you have problems that you cannot, it also sounds pretty controlling, like, to, you know, to say, yeah, it sounds like a pretty smart letter too. It already sounds like she's pretty, you know, what she said about how she dresses and who she's, you know, spending her time with, and that she really, you know, it's really like her mother needs help on that. I don't know. It's not a problem at all. She sounds really together about it, actually.
But do you guys think she should, like, dial back on time with her mom? Because I think that it sounds like she's already tried talking to her about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what actions should she take? A part of me is like, maybe she should, because she already just kind of went through some bullshit.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's tough. It's like, yeah. You don't want to not spend time with your family member because of this kind of stuff. You know, it's hard. Like, I'm bisexual, or I think I'm pansexual. Like, again, same thing where I'm like, I'm not really, like, putting a label on it. I just am who I am, you know. And it's so frustrating. And I think a lot of people can identify with this, where someone really wants to label you for some reason. And you're like, I don't care. Like, this is not, why are you so obsessed with, like, saying I'm this or that? It's a very strange, like, obsession that I think is of their generation for sure. But yeah, my mom did not, you know, she just was really weird about it when I, like, came out to her, and didn't, like, I don't know, I think kind of just swept it under the rug, basically, you know. And so we don't talk about it that much. And I think, like, it would be hard for me to be like, I'm not gonna hang out with my mom because she doesn't, you know, like, I don't know if that's the answer, because I still want to see my mom. So,
but maybe it would help her, maybe she could have it would give her a little space to go, like, why doesn't my daughter want to hang out with me? You know, she'd be angry at the beginning, but then she'll be like, you know, maybe I should read up on this more, or, you know, maybe she could spend less time with her, and in a very gentle way, sort of, like, nudge her to give her some, is that bad? Like, some, like, readings on it or something, like, hey, maybe you would find this interesting.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I think it's so interesting that your first thought, Peaches, was also being like, oh, I think this is the mom's insecurity coming through.
It's definitely,
It's so, because, like, in pop culture and everything, we see so much, like, homophobia and, like, lack of identity. And it mostly shows up in men. But we, like, never really think about it from, like, the female to female perspective. And this is, like, a generation of women, too, who, like, obviously not all of them, but, like, were, like, their path was so much like more just there's only a few things that you can do. So, like, as you get older and, like, you do have a daughter or a child at all that has so much more freedom and can do all these things, I can imagine it being also difficult to be like, well, oh, I could have done anything, but I didn't, like,
it's difficult. Maybe
exactly, like, the freedom is, it's hard to, you know, I would imagine you would slightly not consciously resent that freedom, but, like, you know, subconsciously would have just, like, no, I was a good daughter, good wife, good mother, you know, and that's what they were told. And I mean, I know that there is, like, a thing also, like, with, like, an older generation of, like, the identity crisis of, like, once children have left and, like, the sole identity of, like, as mother goes, where it's like, oh shit, no one told me what I'm supposed to be now. You know,
I do want to give a little more advice. I've had I've had experiences similar. I don't know how personal I want to get into it, but just to let her know, in my situation, I feel like my mother has grown so much, and, you know, it was really that feeling of intolerance or, like, judging or no space and all that. But there was space given, and then it opened up more and more. And I think that it can go either way also when you get older, you know, like, as a nestless parent or whatever. And then, but in my mother's case, it's like, it's a revelation, like, to a point where it's so good now in terms of, like, discussing these kinds of things. And
that's amazing.
Understanding. Yeah. So there's hope. That's what I want to say to that person.
Yeah.
That I think that you have a good perspective, and keep your perspective, and your mother actually needs to grow.
And, like, maybe if it helps you, like, like you just said, it almost like if it helps you think about your mom, instead of thinking about it as a reflection on you or what you are or not being labeled as, like maybe, yeah, just think of it in like, oh, this is something that maybe you can feel sympathy for your mom for. Like that does kind of suck. If that's the case that she kind of was raised in a time where she didn't feel like she had the liberties that she should or could have had, that's shitty. And maybe that will help you like depersonalize it and look at it for what it is, which is really like her own story and her own situation.
Yeah. Or maybe you can even talk to her about that stuff, like just that stuff, not and then, you know, but just maybe she'll start to
let her connect, those dots.
When you have more compassion, maybe she'll also open up in a new way. That's a very good point.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, like how if your mom knows any bisexuals or like has, I mean, the representation in media is nowhere near as good as it should be in any capacity. And like in her personal life, if there's like books or like TV or like even just like, you know, inviting her out to like brunch with your friends where it isn't even you guys talk about being bisexual, but she sees that these are like people that just are live like other people. Like, I think there is something to like, if you're sheltered and you don't know, I think a lot of people, especially Americans, are like good at like concrete empathy when somebody is in front of me and I see this 3D person and what this person is. Yes. But our abstract empathy is we're conditioned, you know, not to have it in a lot of ways because that's how the world continues to work. But like, so it's hard to put yourself there or to even see people as people. And I think sometimes if you're not like necessarily exposed to them and like, you know, it shouldn't have to be that way. But I do think it like helps quite a bit to be like, oh, it's not that serious, actually.
I also just like the idea of, do throw a bisexual brunch and put your mom there in the middle.
Bisexual brunch.
Yes.
That's a name for a memoir.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also do think like it's also a good boundary. Like it's an exercise in boundary with you guys, too, where it's like you can hang out. And if she brings it up, it's like, we're not going to talk about this. If you continue to push, like I told you, you need to respect me. This is actually a respect issue. And, you know, I'm going to leave now. Or I'm going to like remove myself or change whatever. Like you have that power. Like as the child, you do also have the power because like your mom's ultimately, you know, most parents like will do anything to see their kids. You know,
I'm optimistic, but though. It sounds like they have a relatively good relationship. So I feel like a little bit of space, being honest about why you're giving space.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that you guys will be able to work through this.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You're starting off from a good, at least like, you guys do have, it's not like you're being shut out or something like that. So that's a good way to start off with it. But yeah, good luck. I mean, it sounds like you're very certain. I'm glad that you're just certain of who you are. And those issues of like letting the shame get to you, that's like to me the worst part because it's just like you should have the unconditional love from them and like should not feel that shame.
I hate that
fucking feeling. I mean, good on you for like kind of recognizing it and good luck. And thanks for asking us to help you.
Let us know how it goes, please. We really like love hearing follow-ups on our lady problems to know if what we've said have helped, and if anybody listening also has additional advice. We like post these questions on our Instagram so other listeners can like throw in their advice if they've had similar experiences or not as well. So we're a beautiful community and we all want to support each other and love each other and just be our best selves.
Yeah,
yes. Straight.
I knew that's why I wanted to come on the show.
Damn straight, Peaches. Aww.
That's our show, Peaches. Everyone can find your new single, Pussy Mask, out. Is there anything else you want to shout out for everybody to check out?
Well, just check out Pussy Mask. I mean, the vinyl hasn't even come out yet, but came out digitally. So,
oh, cool. You can go download it and check it out right now, and then go buy the pre-buy the vinyl then.
And the video is so fun.
Ooh, yes.
It's made by Leah Shore. Yeah.
It's really
good.
It's going to be so awesome. And honestly, congratulations on Teaches of Peaches being 20. Like, what a fucking awesome career done your way. And that is just deeply inspiring and fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. You guys are doing it your way, too. We've done it our way.
Hell yeah.
It's not a lady to lady if we don't end on a Sinatra lyric, really. So
that's the thing. I didn't know.
No.
When I was 64, it was a very
Please
take it away. We're good.
And well, thank you so much, Peaches. It's really great talking to you.
Thank you.
And love everybody listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi. My name's Caroline. I'm a new listener, an MFM transplant. I love your podcast so far. I just finished listening to Bone Jail with Lisa Traeger, and I related so much to the lady problem about, like, being on your phone and the whole conversation about our phones are addictive. I just graduated college and did my entire senior thesis design project on phone addiction in the future. And I think everybody had the right idea. You have to figure out the right balance for you and the right balance for yourself during a global pandemic, because we all have to give ourselves a little bit more slack right now. But another really great resource is the Humane Tech Society. It's run by ex-Google employees who are really against the way that we're treating our personal technology and our phone. And they have a podcast called Your Undivided Attention. And they talk all about how phones are addictive and ways to circumvent that. And it's super, super good. And then one of my favorite quotes from them is, the cure for phone addiction is not phone abstinence, it's human connection. So writing letters and snail mail to your friends, or when you pick up your phone and you have the urge to just scroll through Instagram, call someone instead. Those are all really, really good ways to avoid phone addiction. Okay, I love you. Bye.
Hi, ladies. I'm an American listening to you guys in Australia, and I'm literally making an international long-distance phone call to have a response to Danny, who doesn't know what to do with her life. I just have to say that I went straight from college to law school. I spent $100,000 to become a lawyer at 25. I thought I had my shit together. And guess what? I hated it. I hated it so much. I was miserable all the time. And eventually, I just had to take a break and go work at the Pottery Barn and help middle-class people pick out their stuff for their house. So just wanted to say to her, like, don't feel the pressure to pick your rest of your life thing. Just pick your right now thing, and it'll fall into place. I've had 4 careers since then. And so I want to tell her, don't think of yourself as a kernel waiting to pop. Think of yourself as a tree that is going to bloom season after season after season. Thanks, ladies. Bye.